Welcome to The Metabolic Link, a medical and science-focused podcast that explores the common thread of metabolism in health and disease. This is where science meets society. Welcome back to another episode of The Metabolic Link. I'm your host, Victoria Field, alongside my co-hosts, of course, Dr. Dominic D'Agostino and Dr. Angela Poff. We're so excited to be here with you today because we've got a Journal Club episode, one of my favorite types of episodes here on our podcast. And we're going to be digging into some really fascinating research here. If you've heard our Journal Club episodes before, you know we uncover the latest science on metabolic health and therapy. And today specifically, we're going to be focusing on immune response to diet. And even more specifically, the ketogenic diet versus the vegan diet. Kind of a hot topic, a little spicy, and it's going to be a really, really fun discussion. And I'm so excited that you're here with us today. But as I mentioned on our last podcast episode, I just wanted to take a quick moment in case you didn't hear it, but you're going to start hearing ads on The Metabolic Link, and for good reason. You know, we offer free educational content here on The Metabolic Link podcast, whether it be a presentation from our scientific and medical conference, Metabolic Health Summit, whether it be a world-renowned expert interview or a Journal Club episode. We offer this information for free. In order to keep doing that, we're partnering with some amazing companies in our field. These are organizations that we personally know, that we've vetted ourselves. We use their products and services and we enjoy them. And I'm so excited to be introducing them to you over the coming weeks. So before we dig in, I want to say a special thanks to our sponsor of this episode, Genova Diagnostics. You know, Genova is not your typical lab by any means. This is a team of innovators that's really leading the charge in the metabolic health field. Genova Connect, powered by Genova Diagnostics, offers simple, at-home, advanced lab testing that's grounded in research, which I completely love, that is going to help you make informed decisions about your health alongside your doctor, so you can reach your health goals and really make things happen. Because when you don't really have a baseline or you don't really have insights into what's happening inside your body, it's really hard to know how to move forward in some cases. And that brings me to my personal experience with using Genova Diagnostics or Genova Connect tests. Specifically, the GI effects test, it's their gut health tests. And for those who have been listening for many episodes now, you've heard me talk about the chronic illness that I suffered, unfortunately, in 2020 and for a couple of years. And I decided to use their gut health test to see if we could uncover some information about what was going on. And we did. We did just that. We were able to dig a little bit deeper, and I was able to work with my physician in optimizing my health through using their gut health test, which is really, really helpful. I've also used their Metabolomics Plus test, which is just one of the most, if not the most comprehensive nutritional profile that you're going to find. Actually, my fellow co-host, Dr. Dominic D'Agostino and I, alongside Dr. Allison Hull, did a webinar with Genova on this, where we actually talk about our test results specifically, but I really wanted to take this test to dive deeper into what my nutritional needs are. You know, what does it look like in terms of like amino acids, vitamins, maybe some digestive issues that are going on or what have you. This test really uncovers a wide variety of things that are really helpful. And the thing I love the most about Genova Connect tests is that they provide you with more than just like sort of, you know, black and white results. They give you education around your test results and things, actionable items that you can work on alongside your physician to hopefully help improve your situation or your health or just optimize yourself if that's what you're looking for. You can actually find our webinar that we did with them in the show notes or show description. So please check that out. So I just want to say, whether it's, you know, gut health you're interested in exploring, hormonal balance or nutritional insights, Genova Connect is definitely something you should certainly check out. It'll allow for you to take your health to the next level. And they're offering you a 15% off discount code when you use the code Metabolic Link. That's only Metabolic Link, no the. So kind of like Facebook, let's drop the just Metabolic Link at gdx.net/TheMetabolicLink. That's gdx.net/TheMetabolicLink. Use the code Metabolic Link for 15% off any of their tests. And I really think you're going to enjoy uncovering more information. about you so you can hopefully go on to optimize your metabolic health. Okay, it's time to take a deep dive into this journal club. I am here with my co-host, Dr. Dominic D'Agostino and Dr. Angela Poff. Hey guys, so good to see you.
Hey, yeah, great to see you.
Yeah, and for everybody who's listening, maybe you're listening on your favorite podcast player, we also show these podcast episodes on our YouTube channel too, in case you want to watch, see facial expressions. We're there as well. Head on over to our Metabolic Health Summit YouTube to check that out. But we've got a really exciting journal club today that I'm really looking forward to a great discussion with you guys. So for those who are jumping in, new to our podcast, the Journal Club episodes really dive into some of the latest research happening in the field of metabolic health and therapy. And we basically will run through a paper. Dr. D'Agostino, Dr. Poff will run through the paper and really provide a great overview of the research. And then we have a discussion about it. So for those of you who are new to Journal Club, that's kind of how we run through these episodes. And today we're going to be discussing a really fun topic: ketogenic diet versus vegan diet. I mean, it's more detailed than that. It's actually called, or the title of the paper is, Differential Peripheral Immune Signatures Elicited by Vegan versus Ketogenic Diets in Humans. And it's going to be a great discussion. Obviously, there are a lot of differences between the two diets, and we're really going to dive into everything from, of course, immune to microbiome effects, and it's going to be a lot of fun. So, Angela, do you want to take this one away for us?
Sure, happy to. So this was a beast of a paper published
Yes.
in Nature Medicine. I think it came out earlier this year. No, last year. Oh no, it did. Published online January 2024. So very recent and really great paper. Lots of really sophisticated multi-omics analysis in this paper, and really in many ways first of its kind. So this was done by a group at the NIH and specifically in the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Disease. And essentially what they did was set out to do this multi-omic study investigating impact of ketogenic diet and vegan diet on immunity and microbiome. And they did this in a highly controlled clinical setting in humans. So not really anything like this has been done before. It was done in a diverse cohort of 20 participants that were admitted to the NIH Clinical Center. And they did a crossover study design. So each participant consumed a ketogenic diet, which was 75.8% fat, 10% carbohydrate, and then a vegan diet, which was 10%, 10.3% fat, 75.2% carbohydrate. Of course, the remainder being protein. Ad libitum for 2 weeks. And they did this in different orders. So half the participants started with the ketogenic diet, half started with the vegan diet, and then they switched after 2 weeks. And there wasn't a washout period in between. So a little more information about the type of diet that they were consuming. So both diets had a common foundation of non-starchy vegetables. So they said about 1 kilogram per day of non-starchy vegetables. Low amounts of digestible carbohydrates and only minimum amounts of highly processed foods. So, something to keep in mind, because essentially this study is going to be looking at changes in a lot of different signatures, microbiome, metabolomics, proteomics, immune signatures after each phase of this diet for the participants. But keep in mind that this is probably a fairly different diet than the average person is consuming. So this is really a whole foods-based diet. They wanted to, try to make sure this was kind of well formulated and optimized. So they're going to be comparing baseline to 2 weeks for both of those diets. But keep in mind that change at baseline to any change in diet in this study is probably a pretty substantial one as well, if you assume that the average person is not eating a nearly whole foods based diet, which is probably true. So the ketogenic diet added animal-based products, so including meat, poultry, fish, eggs, dairy, nuts. The vegan diet had added legumes, rice, root vegetables, soy products, corn, lentils, peas, whole grains, bread, and fruit. The vegan diet was higher in dietary fiber and higher in dietary sugar compared to the ketogenic diet. If you happen to have already like seen this paper in circulation and downloaded it, you know, maybe at the beginning of the year, might be worth going back and downloading a new version because they've actually issued a update. There was an error in the supplemental figures that was describing the amount of sugar in the ketogenic diet. So it was just updated actually yesterday, probably in response to Dom emailing the authors. Because basically when we were looking at this paper last week in anticipation of discussing this on this recording, Dom, you know, was looking at the details of the diets and noticed that one of the figures was showing basically like a 75-ish grams of dietary sugar per 1,000 kilocalories in the ketogenic diet group, which is definitely not, you know,
it's a high carb ketogenic diet, you guys. You've never heard of
right.
that?
It was interesting because it was like, it was described that way in the methods, like in the main paper, and also in the figure. So it was like multiple places it said that.
Dom,
and so
Dom, you come running after them. It's got to be,
if
they're
not,
familiar with ketogenic work, you know, research in the field.
I'd like to add, you know, there was a lot of discussion about this paper and even several podcasters picked it up, talked about it. And like, nobody saw, you know, we're talking about the main independent variable, the main detail of the main independent variable being studied was like completely nonsensical. And I started reading this paper at nighttime and I like couldn't sleep. Like I went to bed, I was like, how could they have done this?
I was
study?
Having nightmares
but
about
nature medicine. They had to double check this, but no, it has to be right. It's like, it's either like fundamentally flawed or a major oversight. So it just it ended up being a major oversight. We contacted the primary and secondary authors, and Dr. Kevin Hall was very kind. He got back to me on Twitter about it, and they changed it real quick. So,
yeah, they did, which was great. They responded right away and issued the update. And so if you go now and download it, you'll see it's been fixed, which is good.
Link to that too, just by the way, for everybody watching or listening, it'll be in the show description.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so obviously the nutrient intake of these two diets are differing in their composition, macronutrient composition, but also they differed in calorie intake. So vegan dieters ended up consuming less calories than those who were on a ketogenic diet. As expected, ketogenic dieters consumed more fatty acids and also more amino acids than the vegan diet group. And had elevated ketones in comparison or compared to the individuals when they were consuming the vegan diet. So essentially they took blood, urine, and fecal samples from these participants at baseline. And then after 2 weeks on these diets, and like I said, everyone did both diets and they randomized the order of who got which diet first so that they could make sure there wasn't a diet order effect coming out in the data. Okay. So first up, they were looking at effects on the immune system. So real quick, let's recap something. When we talk about the immune system, a lot of time we talk about innate immunity versus adaptive immunity. So the innate immune system, this is the key components would include things like leukocytes, dendritic cells, natural killer cells, plasma proteins. These are like your frontline defenders against pathogens. So innate immunity, it launches like an immediate response to any foreign antigen. But then adaptive immunity kicks in a little bit more slowly and responds to specific antigens. And the adaptive response is mediated largely by your B cells and your T cells. And that adaptive immunity is what you kind of build up as you get exposed to pathogens and then also after vaccination. So first of all, they found that changing, just starting a diet, regardless of which one, caused significant changes in a number of these immune cells. And so this kind of goes back to what we had talked about with probably just a shift from what these individuals were consuming in their regular lives, their baseline diet, to adopting to either of these whole foods based vegan or ketogenic diet. They saw changes in both of these groups, including decrease in naive CD8 T cells, increase in activated CD4 T cells, effector CD4 T cells, and effector CD8 T cells compared to baseline. So already supporting that, just adopting a new diet and probably related to the change in, towards this more whole foods based diet, you're going to start shifting your immune signature pretty rapidly. Remember, these are only 2 weeks of exposure, which is really not that long for a diet. I mean, it is, but we understand that you could have longer term adaptations and responses to diet. But
yeah, I wonder how, like, sorry, you might touch on this. I wonder how, like, you know, the whole keto adaptation period can take longer than that, right? And that shift in metabolism. I just, you know, maybe finding a good groove with the ketogenic diet, how that would have made a difference versus just 2 weeks, right? Because you see that in like exercise-based research where you've got like just such a minimal time where, yeah, your performance is going to go down the toilet potentially during the adaptation phase, right? Anyway, just.
No, I agree completely. And I think that, and we do see that, you know, a lot of these beneficial changes that have been reported with ketosis do occur a little. You see a lot of changes rapidly, but then occur with more long-term keto adaptation. So of course, that's going to be a limitation of the study, which is also just a realistic limitation of it's hard to do a controlled study like this in people. You know, people don't want to go live in a clinic for 6 months so that we can measure their blood and their, you know, urine from eating a diet. So it's just, it's one of those things. But yeah, a very good point. Okay, so, but then they also saw some distinct changes following the consumption of each diet that was independent of the diet order. So they feel pretty confident that these are changes being caused by that specific diet. So for one, they saw a significant increase in the frequency of activated Tregs, T regulatory cells, and CD16 positive natural killer cells following consumption of ketogenic diet in comparison to consumption of vegan diet. And then on the flip side, they saw an increase in the frequency of activated T helper cells and activated natural killer cells following vegan diet compared to ketogenic diet. So this is kind of the result that ended up being like the title of the paper, which was basically these two diets had significant and distinct effects on the immune signature. So both of them caused immune cell changes, composition, and activation of immune cells, but they were a little bit, they were distinct. So such that basically these changes in the vegan diet were suggesting an enhancement of adaptive immune, I'm sorry, innate immunity versus the changes that were observed in the ketogenic diet was enhancement of adaptive immunity. So both of these are really important parts of your immune system. They play distinct and important roles. When you can imagine when you know, get exposed to a virus, perhaps you're at a store, end up getting exposed, that innate immune response is going to kick in right away, maybe determine whether or not you actually get sick from the beginning. But then if your adaptive immune response is going to be really important for fighting off that virus once it's kind of taken hold, for example. Massive oversimplification, but okay. So other things that they saw with the immune signatures, they did some RNA-seq of whole blood at baseline and then also following the diets. And they saw this clustering of these highly expressed genes with marked differences in gene expression between all of these three conditions, baseline and then after vegan diet and after ketogenic diet. And so they really saw some prominent polarization in the protein enrichment that's happening with these two diets. So again, in RNA-seq analysis, they're seeing an upregulation of pathways with adaptive immunity following ketogenic diet, including T-cell activation, enrichment of B-cells and plasma cells. And then they saw that oxidative phosphorylation, which is, of course, a fundamental pathway associated with T cell activation and memory cell formation, was also enriched in ketogenic diet compared to vegan or baseline diet. And then in contrast, the vegan diet was associated with upregulation of pathways with innate immunity, as well as antiviral responses. So also in a different type of analysis, looking at RNA expression, they're seeing the same kind of shifts in this immune signature, which, you know, lends support that, yeah, this is probably meaningful. the order of the diets didn't affect those changes. So it probably is due to the diet itself. Okay. So next they said, to attempt to correlate the diet-associated signatures with disease states, they performed something called Ingenuity Pathway Analysis, IPA, disease term analysis. I wasn't very familiar with this, so I did some.
I wasn't either. That's
okay, yeah, did some reading. Yeah. Yep. Okay, so apparently this IPA is a web-based bioinformatics application where researchers can upload their data from these high throughput experiments where they're collecting these massive amounts of data, such as the bulk RNA-seq that we were just talking about that they had performed. And it provides this integration and functional analysis of these massive data sets. And it can kind of like give you insight into how your data that you collected might be associated with certain biological functions or certain disease states. Okay. So in doing this, they found a higher activation of pathways associated with cancer in the vegan group compared to in the ketogenic diet group. So they a total of 308 cancer-associated pathways were found to be changed, of which only 66 of those were predicted to have higher activation following ketogenic diet, and 242 of them were suggested to have a higher activation following the vegan diet. And I think this is where probably the authors felt like they were maybe a little surprised by that. But they did, they also noted that, so there were four pathways that reached an activation score difference of two or greater, which really does kind of support it's pretty like meaningful association. And all of those showed a stronger activation with the vegan diet. Again, these are cancer-associated pathways. So the authors note that these observations don't predict any differences in patient susceptibility to cancer, cancer outcome, but they, you know, they do acknowledge and say that, you know, the data suggests that both ketogenic and vegan diets could influence cancer outcome. And importantly to note that there is preliminary evidence to support ketogenic diet might be beneficial as an adjuvant therapy in cancer, whereas there are no published studies investigating the impact of vegan diet on cancer. And I have to admit, I'm not sure that I knew that there were none. I need to go back and look in the literature on this, but it was fascinating to me. Yeah, because I think a lot of people talk about like, oh, I think there's like this assumption like, oh, cancer, vegan diet, for sure.
Yeah,
and
it's everywhere in the mainstream. Vegan, vegetarian, plant-based, just in general, is something that's preached commonly, you know, in mainstream media. So,
fasting mimicking diet. So that's like kind of a plant-based, but it's just a short intervention. You know, right. I don't know. That wouldn't fall into that category, I guess, necessarily. Yes. I was surprised by them saying
there are none. So, and maybe that's true, but I mean, I probably should be a little more familiar with, what is out there, but maybe I'm not because it's not out there. So
yeah, no, I saw that too, and I was kind of shocked.
I think it's important to like also just note that a ketogenic diet and a vegan diet are not mutually exclusive technically. So you know, maybe you can augment adaptive and innate with a vegan ketogenic diet. Hard to implement.
Very challenging though.
Yeah.
Yeah,
very, very, very challenging.
Something just to consider.
Considering, I mean, and then just some of the, not to digress, but some of the key, you know, amino acids and all kinds of stuff that you're missing on the vegan front. But yeah, especially because it's got to be just the structure of it's super high carbohydrate typically to get in enough protein in that diet. You're eating massive amounts of, you know, what also can contain carbohydrates. So anyway,
so anyways, interesting, definitely interesting results coming from the effect on immune. And I do want to say there's definitely, I mean, there's a lot of increasing interest in data coming out looking at the way the ketogenic diet alters the immune response in the context of cancer, and lots of beneficial kind of results being published. So it was cool to see that not directly testing the exact things that we're seeing from these preclinical trials, but in humans seeing some similar changes at the broad scale that does not conflict, at least with kind of what we're seeing in those preclinical trials, which is cool.
I'd like to add that this paper was first put on my radar by Dr. Patrick Hugh, the CEO of the Moffitt Cancer Center, and that tagged me on Twitter on it, and then that's when I first saw it. But then in talking with people about it, I think there's a theoretical rationale for the ketogenic diet enhanced adaptive immunity to potentially work with different types of immune therapies, including like checkpoint inhibitors, like PD-1 inhibitors and things. So that has actually sparked an interest in people who administer those and who have a expertise in that area. So that's a, you know, an important avenue, I think, that people will be exploring that particular, you know, potential synergy.
Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah, I think that's a really exciting area of metabolic therapies for cancer. And because immune therapies are such a hot area, like anything that can support their efficacy is really fantastic. So yeah, absolutely. Okay, so up next, they kind of shifted gears looking at effects on microbiome. So of course, we know post-diet is going to be one of those main drivers of the microbiome composition and function. So they performed microbiome metagenomic sequencing, which allows for analysis of changes in the composition and predicted function of the microbiota. And they saw these differences in microbiome composition that occurred between ketogenic diet and vegan diet. And in particular, demonstrating a more prominent shift in the microbiome composition with the ketogenic diet. They also saw changes in function, where they saw a downregulation in biosynthesis of branched chain amino acids and several B vitamins following the ketogenic diet. So the authors said it's possible that this reduction in amino acid metabolism in the microbiome that they saw with the ketogenic diet is a result of this higher abundance of amino acids that's in the ketogenic diet. So the host is less reliant on the microbiome producing amino acids. And overall, they found that ketogenic diet had a more significant impact on the microbiome than and its predicted function than the vegan diet did, at least in this 2-week study. So remember, longer study could be, who knows. Okay, next up. They looked at metabolomics. They performed targeted metabolomics analysis in the plasma and the urine for all participants. In total, 185 of the 859 that guessed that they were tested, metabolites were significantly changed between vegan and ketogenic diets in the plasma. Lipid changes were the most impacted, which is probably not surprising. And so metabolomics being a more direct readout of the impact of a diet on the host compared to like transcriptomic and proteomic data. They said that this might be a better data set to kind of understand mechanistic regulation of the host response to these dietary interventions. And so to kind of understand functional insights into this crosstalk between nutrition, metabolite, host physiology, they performed functional enrichment analysis. So essentially, they're looking at these pathways that are enriched in these different, following these different diets. They found that there were four that were enriched in both the plasma and the urine. And they were all associated with upregulation of amino acid and vitamin biosynthesis following the ketogenic diet. So again, kind of supporting that these are pretty prominent and real changes, meaningful changes. And then also not surprising, but in line with the higher intake of fatty acids that were happening with the ketogenic diet, they had a higher number of lipids also enriched in ketogenic diet versus the vegan diet. They saw an enrichment in saturated and unsaturated fatty acid content with the ketogenic diet, but only unsaturated in the vegan diet, perhaps not surprising. And, you know, they suggested that whether these divergences account for some of that almost knocked over my coffee. Sorry. whether or not those divergences account for that differential impact that they were reporting in the immune system, you know, they don't know, but it could be, right? That some of these differences that they're teasing out in these metabolomics are actually why you're seeing that different immune signature in the ketogenic diet versus the vegan diet. Overall, and it, what was in line with their microbiome data, they saw a stronger impact of ketogenic diet on the plasma host metabolite profiles compared to the vegan diet. And most of those changes were amino acid metabolism related. So next, they were looking at correlations between these enzymes, metabolites, and proteins, and they found a really densely connected network with linkages between all of these data sets. So these were associated with a vast variety of biological function, some of the most prominent, including immune system function, amino acid metabolism, lipid metabolism, but also apoptosis and cell adhesion, which are probably some of those pathways that were associated with the cancer signature as well. And basically, they saw that the lower region of this network was mainly driven by compounds associated with lipids and amino acids, but then the upper region of the network was a dense connection between immune-related data points, and they were predominantly associated with adaptive immunity and host virus interactions. So also aligning with what they saw at the very beginning, most of the data suggested this kind of like adaptive immune response following ketogenic diet and innate immune response with the vegan diet. And they said that, you know, what was cool is that despite the heterogeneity and the small number of participants, so the participants were very heterogeneous in terms of age, in terms of weight, half were male, half were female. There was just a very diverse cohort of participants, and there was only 20 of them. They still were able to produce this complex data set that uncovered a really highly interconnected network between these proteins, metabolites, the microbiome, and this seemed to be largely driven by amino acid shifts, lipid shifts, and immune-related kind of responses. So that's like the overview of the data. I'm sure there's more in there that I didn't really necessarily get to. But, you know, overall thoughts, I think it was a really cool paper. I think this kind of stuff is important, and it's going to start really accentuating our understanding of what's happening in this very complicated physiological setting of diets that people like to talk about their favorite diet, but we, you know, need to follow the science and recognize, you know, what's shifting in response. And there's probably situations where a certain dietary intervention is going to make sense, but then maybe in another setting or at another time or another prevention versus treatment or any number of things, you might want to shift your strategy. And they kind of like use this idea of like adaptive versus immune, you know, support could be one of those examples. And, you know, they said it's possible that one of or the primary driver between why we're seeing such distinct signatures between these two is comes back to that fundamental difference of physiologically under ketosis, you are increasing utilization of fat and ketones as that primary energy source. And under in a vegan diet, it's still a carbohydrate-based metabolism, which is probably what their baseline diets were as well. So we saw bigger shifts following ketogenic diet, maybe in part because going from your baseline diet to a vegan diet, you're still in this carbohydrate-based metabolism, but going from a baseline diet to a ketogenic diet, that's a massive shift.
Huge shift in metabolic state for most people. So that in and of itself is going to be very influential on a variety of things for sure.
Yeah. And just real quick, a couple other points. They said, you know, one thing to keep in mind, this exploration of the immune signature was limited to the blood. So whether or not these changes, you know, translate into changes in tissue immunity, can't really say. But they said that the work that they uncovered really, at least what they're seeing in the blood, Seeing this ketogenic diet heightening this adaptive immune signature really does align with previously reported roles of ketogenic diet in increasing T cell responses in mice. And then it's not been previously reported that vegan diet could potentially upregulate innate immunity, but so there's kind of like a novel finding here for that. Another important thing they said to keep in mind that there's a lot of work showing that calorie restriction can cause significant changes in host immunity. And so the vegan dieters had a caloric deficit compared to the ketogenic dieters. So the effect you're seeing on immune signature in the vegan dieters, is that due to the vegan diet macronutrient composition, or is it due to a calorie restriction? It's
right.
not clear. Can't really say. From
like
this
that
study,
I kind of had, yeah.
Oh, sorry,
yeah.
Go ahead, Dom. What were you saying?
Just saying like that sort of, well, in addition to like, I figure the first figure should be defining and clarifying what the independent variable was that you're, you know, and standardizing it. It's like, if you test two different drugs, you know, you have to know that, you know, that composition or that drug chemical is exactly the same. So you have two interventions that, you know, the first thing I did is kind of look at the first figure. I was like, oh, where's the diet? How do I? So I had to go to supplementary figures. And then I went to the extended data and was like, oh, 150 grams of sugar in the ketogenic diet. So I was just like really kind of confused and annoyed, like right out of the gate, because I just wanted to understand. I think a ketogenic diet should really be standardized to make sense of the data. And if you have a vegan diet that's calorie restricted, well, we know all sorts of great things can happen with calorie restriction,
yeah.
Right? So
both
I think even
might
down
have been
to
in ketosis, right?
Yeah, like I mean, the macronutrients. I mean, that's super important to just nail that and standardize that. But also, like the micronutrients, and like there was higher heme levels in the vegan group that didn't make sense
yeah.
to me. Because, for example, like higher B vitamins and things could have profound effects on the metabolomics, the microbiome for sure. And you see an upregulation of excited or essential amino acids and also a decreased biosynthesis of all the B vitamins in the ketogenic diet because it's more nutrient dense because you're getting
yeah.
them in the diet, right?
Yeah.
So like subjects that were eating the vegan diet, you see the body's attempt to synthesize more in response to that nutrient deficiency. And I think that's kind of important. And the microbiome stuff, I'm not an expert in it, but what I kind of see is that Firmicutes, a
which decreased with ketogenic
yeah.
diet. Yeah, sorry, I didn't actually say that. Go ahead.
Bacteroides was increased, and they didn't really talk about that, but as far as I know, like small intestinal bacterial overgrowth is typically attributed to, you know, some of these for like an overgrowth of Firmicutes. And so you see sort of a microbiome shift that's in line with a decrease in, you know, decreasing bacterial overgrowth, probably because there's, you know, less fiber and things like that, but also a shift towards, I think, more bacterioides and less Firmicutes. So that, in my mind, that's a favorable shift, but it wasn't really talked about much. And I feel like there could be like a little bit of a bias towards the vegan. I don't want to be sound conspiratorial, but I felt like, you know, there was, and I also think that the adaptive immunity, like that's could be like a greater insight. There was a bit of a discussion, online discussion, especially in the vegan camp about how this study is great. And it shows like the antiviral effects from the enhanced innate immunity. But I think, the adaptive immunity effects. And I think what was really inspiring and kind of interesting to me and kind of unexpected is that these shifts happen in a really robust way, like in just 2 weeks. And the patients or the subjects were highly, highly diverse. So you have a very diverse group of people, a diverse sort of baseline characteristics, and then you put them on these diets and you see very consistent changes. Even without the washout period. And that just goes to show that 2 weeks of diet therapy could really be a big lever to pull if you're going to couple it with immune therapy or, you know, as a therapeutic tool, you know, two
yeah.
weeks pretty profound.
Yeah. And one thing I thought was interesting and they noted was that, which I think I heard some of the surprise was that even though the vegan group had this big increase in dietary fiber intake, they didn't really see like microbiome changes, even though, and you might expect that, right? With a big shift and increase in fiber in comparison. So that was interesting.
Yeah. It would have been really interesting to see like epigenetic changes, like methylation patterns and things like that. I mean, that would kind of be interesting. And yeah,
And
I don't know if they
mood.
reported it, but body weight changes or body composition in 2 weeks, did they report that? I mean, because there's a deficit. And, you know, I was like, I basically look at this as like the vegan is here's what happens with a calorie deficit kind of thing, you know?
Right.
And that.
Yeah, that is a major confounder that.
Yeah.
They point out, but you know, I don't think perhaps gives as much attention to as is.
I mean, that's huge. That's a huge deal, right? It's like basically, I mean, yeah, a ketogenic diet compared to caloric restriction. It's I mean,
it's
hard to say
to
if
like
any of these changes are,
standardize.
yeah.
Yeah. But nonetheless, I mean, I guess the big take home is just the profound changes that you can get, like in immune response and all the multi-omics data, I think is really like encouraging. But I think the take home is that a ketogenic diet or ketone metabolic therapy or a vegan diet, like these diet studies, if they're done in this way in a short time frame, they need to be standardized not only in macronutrients but also like in micronutrients too, because that's really moving the needle on a lot of these things. And then only then will we know with a reduced level of ambiguity the real changes in metabolic physiology and immune function when we standardize the diet to calories and then even macronutrients and micronutrients. And that would seem kind of easy to do if you're giving them all the meals. I mean, you could actually just contract a like metabolic meal. I mean, there's different companies out there that I know do this that really just kind of standardize everything. So it's possible. Yeah.
For sure. Did they check ketones?
Yeah, they were.
Yeah.
I didn't actually see the level reported. They just said that the ketogenic dieters had elevated ketones compared
but they
to the
tested both groups, obviously.
Yeah.
For levels of ketones. Okay. But the
that
caloric.
Would have been
well,
nice. Yeah. Like a continuous ketone monitor or continuous glucose monitor, which are kind of things. A CGM would have been nice in each of the patients. I suspect the vegan group had a really low. I think the insulin was in another paper and it was a bit lower, I think, with the vegan compared to the ketogenic diet, which is just indicative of even though the carbohydrates are lower, if you're calorie restricted, you're still going to get a lower insulin.
Right.
Even without the carbs, you know, in comparisons.
Yeah, for sure. It's really it is exciting though to be able to kind of have a study that tackles this topic because it's so debated. I mean, in both camps, right? Or like there's your hardcore ketogenic diet group, there's your hardcore vegan group, and to actually have science starting to come out to support one way or the other, I think could be really positive, and because it is, it's like religion. It's like religion, and the only way that we can sort this mess out is through research, right? The research to back it up.
Yeah, I will say I think all of these omic studies are fascinating. Like scientifically, I'm like, what do we do with this? I don't know. Like it's very much like a black box. Like all this data is like so hard to make sense of, and like you could argue a million different outcomes based on looking at these data sets. So,
and there's so much that we need to learn about the microbiome specifically, but obviously, it's really fascinating once you start digging into that whole piece, right, of the paper and just that area of the field in general, and what kind of influence the microbiome has on, you know, on the ketogenic front, on seizure control and things along those lines. And you just kind of put that into context in combination with some of the studies that are out there on that. It's really fascinating. The other thing that would have been interesting to document in addition to like body composition, as Dom mentioned, I think is overall mood and just how well these people felt. Now, granted, 2 weeks on any diet, you're probably going to feel like, not yourself,
Yeah.
likely, depending on how well formulated the ketogenic diet is and whatnot. And then just the massive shift, you know, probably a big decrease in protein on the vegan diet. I just would have been curious to, you know, have done sort of some sort of interview with the participants on how good do you feel at the moment? But maybe they didn't do it because 2 weeks, likely both groups are going to be grumpy. So they're not asking these questions, right? But being that we talk so much about mental health and things along those lines, it would have been just an interesting piece. Being that they've like thrown the kitchen sink in terms of like the different aspects of this paper, I think just throw in a couple of other body comp and mood and everything else would have been fascinating.
Yeah, just like body weight changes or just like right. a little suite of metabolic biomarkers, like, you know,
right.
blood pressure, you know, hemoglobin A1C, throwing in a CGM. It's not very innovative, but it would have been very insightful.
Yeah.
But the analysis, you know, that said, the analysis here is really mind-blowing, but it would be great if the independent variable here was standardized so we know what they're actually studying. And that was not clearly defined. Micronutrients and even calories matched. It would be probably important to actually match protein too in each of the diets, just
right.
because it's a, you know, a big lever that can shift so many different things.
Absolutely. 100%. So in your opinions, I would think that you can't really go one way or another with this study, and you can't, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of people that saw this paper come out and were like, oh yeah, finally like support for my side of the debate, right? But I feel like you can't really, you guys probably have a great perspective on that, because I do feel like so many research papers come out, and especially on social media and with, you know, folks influencing out there, take a paper like this and put it into, you know, a context that really doesn't make sense. What's that?
Yeah, I said a soundbite.
A soundbite. Yeah, they pull like a piece out of it, right? And then it's into a soundbite and it's pulled out of context, or it's just something that you can't really provide any sort of blanket statement one way or another to. But a lot of people will, I just feel like, nitpick the research. And, you know, I would love to hear your thoughts on that and just, you know, how it's.
Yeah. This study just shows that diet really matters, the microbiome, metabolomics, you know, the immune, the massive shift in very consistent shift in immune function just really highlights that. And I think this is, you know, a preliminary report, and there's so many, they even say in there the limitations, they clarify that. But I think there's a lot of I think this study will stimulate a lot of interesting research, and that's what I'm excited about.
Yeah.
Hopefully, you know, maybe some research that we can do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do think, Vic, maybe we should, for this podcast episode on YouTube, we should make one of those really intense screen grabs as like the picture, and it's like keto versus vegan, and there's like an explosion and some guy going like,
yeah, you know, all of us are making it. Shocked
yeah,
face.
We're all like, what? I think that's what we should do.
Like the Oreo versus statin kind of thing. Yeah.
We love Nick Norman's research for sure. Yes. No, it's great. It's great. I mean, you know, I do really love that idea. Yeah. You two will be on one side and I'll be on the other, and we're like battling.
Fighting.
You know,
yeah.
I like that idea.
Like that. Yeah.
Maybe we'll get
our
more
vibe.
More downloads. Oh my God. Yeah, I love it. No, but it's true. You know, stuff like this
yeah.
is out of proportion. But at the end of the day, like what you were saying, Dom, diet does matter. And this does provide us with a great foundation of understanding that even in a 2 week time frame, a massive shift can happen. You know, granted, these folks, who knows what they were eating prior to, but regardless, diet influences a lot, and we need to pay attention, and we need more research like this. So, you know, well done to the authors here. But however, you know, on that little mistake there, Dom, thanks for calling that out. It's great. And now we can have a great discussion around this paper.
Well, I'm glad they were super responsive, like in 24 hours, they fixed it. So
that's great. I love it.
Yeah. Great
Well,
team.
awesome. Well, thanks, guys, for the great discussion around this topic. We will be posting more of these journal clubs, so stay tuned, as well as interviews with world experts. We also have some great sit-down interviews that we recorded at Metabolic Health Summit 2024 this year, so you'll want to stay tuned for that. Of course, I also want to mention we have a medical education platform dedicated exclusively to metabolic health and metabolic-based therapies, because one of our biggest goals here is education. Really highlighting the latest science, but also providing continuing medical education so that we can actually put, you know, this information into practice, hopefully. So if you're a medical provider, head on over to metabolicinitiative.com, where you can really see overarching to, you know, what we do as a organization between the Metabolic Link, the Metabolic Initiative, and Metabolic Health Summit. So until next time, thank you guys so much for joining me. And for everyone listening and watching, we appreciate you. Share this content, like, subscribe, all the things. And then we won't have to put up ridiculous thumbnails on YouTube.
There you go.
But thank
that's
you.
The goal. That's
yes, that's the goal. Yes, exactly. Well, thank you guys so much for listening, and we'll see you very soon. Bye, guys.
Thanks, everybody.